Yeah, give it a minute here.
And I understand Councilmember Heller will not be at the special meeting.
Right, correct. Had a family emergency.
All right, Mr. Mayor, we are rolling and we are ready when you are.
Fantastic. Ready to go. Thank you. Good afternoon. This is the City of Morro Bay City Council special meeting. It is Tuesday, October 26th, 2021, 3:30 p.m. This meeting is being held via teleconference. Pursuant to Executive Order Number N08-21 issued by Governor Newsom on June 11th, 2021, this meeting will be conducted telephonically through Zoom and broadcast live on cable channel 20 and streamed on the city website. Please be advised that pursuant to the executive order and to ensure the health and safety of the public by limiting human contact that could spread the COVID-19 virus, the Veterans Hall will not be open for this meeting. And if we could establish a quorum, please, Madam Clerk.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Councilmember Addis?
Here.
Councilmember Barton?
Here.
Councilmember Ford?
Here.
And Councilmember Heller is absent, and Mayor Hedding.
Present. Thank you. Councilmember Heller contacted me earlier, had a family health issue, and will not be able to make it this afternoon, but we'll be here this evening. So we will proceed. We do have a quorum. Go ahead and call this meeting to order. And I believe we have promoted our panel. The format, before I go to public comment for this afternoon, we'll start with the Planning Commission. We have five members vying for a seat on the Planning Commission for a term ending January 31st, 2023. One candidate decided not to continue. That was Dr. Garcia. So if you'll make that note in your packet. And I'm going to go ahead and just give you instructions and first welcome our folks that have applied for the Planning Commission. It is a great honor to see such esteemed folks who have applied for this important position. And we're grateful to those of you in our community that have considered serving your community in this capacity. It's a great honor to be here as your city council. And just know that this council so appreciates all of the input from our advisory boards and commissions in aiding us in making important decisions as we guide the city. So I just want to say up front to each and every one of you, relax, take a deep breath, no real hard questions, and welcome you this afternoon. We will start, however, with public comment, and I'm going to ask if Dana, is there any public comment, or I should say Highland or Anthony, any public comment at this time?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We do not see any raised hands in the queue at this time.
Okay, I will go ahead and close public comment, and I'll bring it back to council. We have Matthew Davis, Chris Dent, Asia King, Malcolm McEwen, and Eric Vincent with us today. And I think they're all promoted, right, Dana? They're all with us, it looks like.
Yeah, one moment, almost.
Almost.
One more. There we go.
All right. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you heard my introduction of thanks and gratitude for applying. We take these appointments very seriously and certainly appreciate the input from our commissions and boards in our community. The process this evening, or this afternoon, I should say, what we'd like to do is just ask each of you to give a 1 minute introduction. We do have the information that was contained in the packet. Thank you for filling out the application and sharing with you the answers to the questions, and some of you included your CVs or resumes. We appreciate that. We'll go ahead and let you take 1 minute to introduce yourself. And then each council member We'll ask one question for each of the five applicants. That's the same question, not different questions. And I'll try to rotate it so that the same person doesn't have to go first every time. So I'll try to keep score as to who went last. And if I mess it up, scold me and tell me that it's too soon for you to go, and I'll rearrange it. And the answers to the questions, about a minute and a half. If you go over, we're not going to punish you or scold you. If you go for 10 minutes, that could be a real problem. But no, we'll go 1 minute with the introduction and a minute and a half or so for your answers. And then, Council, after the completion of the interviews, I will seek a motion for approval of your candidate of choice. And if that motion gets a second, we'll move forward with discussion on the motion. If the motion fails, then we'll move to another motion. That's the way we're going to be doing it this afternoon. So I just wanted to be clear about that. And I'll also try to not put each and every council member on the spot by going first each time. I'll try to mix you guys up as well. So with that, welcome to everybody, and we appreciate you being here. I'm going to take it in order of what I have on my list, and maybe start with you, Mr. Davis, Matthew Davis, welcome. And maybe if you could give us a 1 minute introduction as to who you are and why you're interested in the Planning Commission. Welcome.
Absolutely. Thanks for taking the time. I know it's a busy day today. There's lots on the schedule this afternoon for you all. My name is Matt Davis. I'm 32 years old. I've lived here in Morro Bay for the past 12 years. I moved here to go to college, started at Cuesta, pursuing a career in journalism, and quickly found out that wasn't the route I wanted to go. And so started pursuing a career in drafting land use. And luckily my career, I crossed paths with a man named Bob Kreiser, who's been a local contractor here for a long time. And I was his design project manager for 5+ years, running the Kreiser design end of his two businesses. And during those 5 years, I designed many residential projects, some commercial projects. I was the project manager on dozens upon dozens of residential projects going through Morro Bay City, Slo County, Pismo Beach, essentially every planning and building department in this county I have interacted with in some level. And during that time, I got to spend a lot of time with Morro Bay High School students. Every summer, we'd have some interns. I was directly put in charge of training those interns every summer, and it was a blast. One specifically, his name was Cian. We had a lot of fun together. I hand-drafted a commercial small little smoothie shop. I think it's still down the Embarcadero, got his goods. And then he proceeded to do the digital drafting, and I acquired the permit. That was just a really fun experience to go into that smoothie shop together and hand him a big roll of plants and say, you know, good job, bud. And after leaving Kreiser due to the pandemic, I just needed to take a minute. A lot has happened, needless to say. And after that, I found that the county was hiring in the planning department. So quickly joined them, as I've worked with everybody in there before and knew that they were needing good people. So I spent 6-7 months at the planning department, learning even more and assisting during, you know, this weird time during COVID. And once these COVID measures kind of laxed a little bit, my wife was back to work in person, and we found ourselves in kind of a financial crunch when it came to childcare versus working. And so that's why I have started this endeavor of creating Davis Planning Solutions LLC, and it's been going very well over the last 2 to 3 months, doing essentially what I've always been doing, design permitting liaison to planning and building departments over the last 5-6 years. And so now I've got time to watch the kid and make money. But yes, thank you for taking the time to do this. I too feel as though this is an honor to be just as a panelist to have a shot at this.
Great. Thank you, Matt. Appreciate that. And Chris Dent. Chris, if you'll give us about a 1 minute introduction, please. Chris, can you hear me? You're muted. Dana, we have promoted Chris.
Yes.
Okay. Chris, can you hear me?
He unmuted himself for just a moment.
OK. Okay. Oh, there we go. Chris, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, how's that?
That's good. Did you want to turn on your camera? It's up to you.
I thought it was on, so you can tell. Here we go.
All right. Welcome.
We're up and rolling.
There you go. Welcome.
I was just saying that when I signed up for this position, I was signed up. I didn't realize I was signing up for both Planning Commission and Public Works. And when I looked at the resumes on the Planning Commission, I thought these people were super qualified compared to me. And so I was going to withdraw from this particular job description and wait for the Public Works, if that's okay.
That's absolutely good. Yeah, Chris, no problem at all. Appreciate your honesty with that. And so we'll bring you back in when we do the Public Works Advisory Board, which should be in about 20 or 30 minutes.
Very good. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you, sir. That brings us to Ms. King, Asia King. Welcome, Asia.
There. I was going to say, after going over everyone's little application blurbs and resumes, it seems like everyone was very highly qualified and had really interesting backgrounds. So I'm glad to be able to just be a part of the panel. My name is Asia King. I am here in Morro Bay, of course. I'm a fifth generation Central Coast resident. I'm glad to call this place home. I just had my son at Sierra Vista this last year, and so he is sixth generation. So anyways, that is a huge motivating factor for why I would love to be involved with what the Planning Commission is doing. My background is in community and economic development. I have a long history working for nonprofits doing community development work, and in my more recent career, working in economic development and disaster planning with the federal government. So right now I am an economic development representative with the Federal Economic Development Administration. I'm lucky enough to be able to work from home here in Morro Bay. So we go down to Dog Beach every afternoon after work. It's a really good setup I've got. With the Economic Development Administration, I help, I'm a representative for the Central Coast, so I help San Luis Obispo County, Santa Barbara County, and parts of the San Joaquin Valley with their economic development planning and their project funding and development. So from a planning perspective, it is my job to work with cities, counties, and states, as well as tribes, to make sure their general plans, their specific area plans, their disaster plans, their natural hazard plans, their local coastal programs are all in line with federal planning requirements and documents. So that's just a very quick, brief overview. One last thing, I came to the Economic Development Administration from FEMA. And so I have a big focus on resilience and sustainability, integrating those things into economic and community development. So I know that is like a mouthful and a lot.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. You're very succinct. Malcolm McEwen, do you go by Mo? I see.
Yes. You can call me Malcolm or you can call me Mo. But
okay.
If you need a short version of Malcolm, your only option is Mo.
Oh, okay.
That's why I put that out there.
Welcome.
Well, thanks so much. To introduce myself to y'all, if you haven't met me before, I came to this area in 96. We moved to Cayucas, raised our daughter there, worked in couple different places. My first big job was here in Morro Bay, just past Morro Bay. Up Charles Creek at the Charles Flats Enhancement Project. I was the project coordinator right after that place got built, right before the big flood that filled it up with sediment. So I have a background in habitat restoration, and I'm a licensed civil engineer, although I think I've let it collapse because I haven't worked as a civil engineer in a couple of years. Most recently, I was an Uber driver, and before that, other things, I've been a math teacher at Cuesta. I've been a Peace Corps volunteer. Grew up in San Jose, California. Have a lovely wife, a grown daughter in Sacramento. I love to garden. I love to make music. I love limericks. I'm going to choir practice later today. There'll be later time later in the meeting, I hope, to talk about any professional qualifications you need. But the main reason I'm here is I think that climate change is a real problem, and people need to be excited and enthusiastic and dedicated to making all the changes that are needed for that. And the Planning Commission would be a great place to plan for those needed changes. We've got a lot of changes to make to reduce our greenhouse gas emissions and things like that. So that's why I'm getting involved. I think I have all the qualities and professional background needed to understand planning process and planning documents. But my main thrust, if I am appointed, will be to improve our ability to reduce greenhouse gas emissions here in Morro Bay. Thank you.
Thank you, Mo. Appreciate that very much. Eric Vincent. Welcome, Eric. You're muted. There you go.
There we go.
Yes, sir.
Hi, yeah, Eric Vincent here. Me and my family moved here in June of this year. We were previously down in Rover Beach, and during COVID, we absolutely fell in love with North County and just found ourselves up here all the time. And after a lot of research and stuff, we ended up here. And now I have a first grader and a third grader at Del Mar. And my wife is a substitute teacher, as well as she works at a shop here in town already, and also at one of the hotels. And then I currently have my design business, Vincent Designs, and I'm also a licensed general contractor. I don't really do that. I have just naturally always fallen into the drawing and drafting, and that's what I'm continuing to do at this point anyways. We'll see where the future takes us. My original background in all of this is I have a much older brother. He's a Cal Poly graduate, a licensed architect. I began working for him probably when I was about 16, as he had already graduated college by the time I was that age. And I worked for him for about 6 to 8 years. You know, the first 2 years were while in high school. The other 6 years were after. For him, I did anything from mini marts to apartment complexes. He did a wide variety, single family residential, but it was all hand drawn. And I was of that age when computers were becoming big and CAD and all of that. So I left him and went to work for a general contractor that wanted to start up his own CAD department and do design build construction. And that's where I found myself for the next 20 years working for an industrial contractor. We purchased the land, developed the land, sold the land, designed the buildings, built the buildings, got you financing, anything. I worked there until the business was turned over to the son, and there was a changing of guards, and I decided to take a different job with RMC Constructors, where I was chief estimator. And for them, I landed the $70 million Delta Shores project up in San Diego, Sacramento. That was the company's largest job ever. It was a design build project, no plans, anything. It was a maximum guaranteed price and probably one of the scariest things I've ever done in my life. But they landed the job and they did very well on it, so all's good. But doing that, I quickly got very burned out. And from there, I went out on my own. And now one of my primary clients is my old boss, the father at Don Pickett & Associates in the Central Valley. And I draw mostly for him his personal buildings. Right now I'm drawing 6 25,000-foot industrial buildings for him. And it's led me to a position in my life where I have a little more availability. I have always wanted to be involved in the community. Me and my wife have finally found what we call home. After much searching, and we plan to be here for a great while, and it would be awesome to be involved in the community in this way and help in any way I can.
Great. Thank you very much, Eric. Appreciate that. Okay, we're going to move to council member questions. I'm going to start with Council Member Addis, and This will be one question for, it'll be the same question for each of you. And I'm going to ask that you try to limit it to 1 minute just to be able to get through everybody and have everybody have a chance to have a turn to answer. But again, I won't cut you off, but if you can, try to limit it to a minute or so. So Council Member Addis will start, and I'm going to rotate who gets to go first. I'm going to start with Eric. Even though we finish with you, you get to go first on the question, but we're going to back you up, and you'll not be first every time. So Council Member Addis, please.
Thank you, Mayor. My question is actually 2-in-1. So Council recently unanimously voiced support for major city goals in housing and climate. What would your approach be to balancing the need for historical preservation with the need to build more housing and address the climate crisis?
Wow. Okay, that's a complicated one.
I know it's 2-in-1 because I thought I had two, but now I get
one. Yeah, later go first on purpose, you see. And if you need the question repeated, any of you, she'll be happy to do that. Yeah.
Gotcha. Well, of course, with the city goals, those being established and voted on by council, I would do everything in my power to support those. And through the implementation of the general plan for the city of Morro Bay, I assume much of that was taken into account, seeing as it was just recently adopted this year. As far as historical preservation and residential, if you're speaking of true historical reservation, I do have some experience in that, and that gets into a really sticky situation because trying to change a historical building in any way, shape, or form, it's like pulling teeth, quite frankly. So to bring it up to energy codes and everything else is really, really difficult. Coming from the Central Valley, where it's 100 degrees, obviously there were exceptions given on meeting energy codes and stuff like that in order to preserve the historical character of the building. All the historical commissions there felt it was more important to keep historic over climate change. Here, I have not heard what the public perception is, nor the council's perception, and I would defer to them to sort of guide me as being a newcomer. But I'm not here in any way, shape, or form to make waves, but more just to support and try to implement what the community has. They voted for you, it goes down the line, what the community has spoken for. Does that kind of answer the question?
Okay. Thank you, Eric. Appreciate that. Mo, let's go with you next. And do you need the question repeated, sir?
Well, let me repeat it back to you and see if this makes sense. What I'm hearing is that a need for affordable housing, climate change, and historic preservation, and how are those three balanced? And I suppose what you'd like to know is where my priorities lie in those areas. And let me just say about historic preservation, I do believe that truly historic and significant structures should be preserved and utilized as best they can. I think in a lot of cases, I tend to disagree with some people on the extent of what should be considered historic and should be preserved. In terms of housing, people keep making babies and they grow up and they need places to sleep. And so we need to keep growing our places for people to live. And I'm all in favor of making places smaller and more affordable. And I think in terms of climate change, I think transit is another area. So much of our space seems to be devoted to parking. And if we could get away from that beautiful or horrible thing we call the automobile, the more we can, the more space opens up for pedestrian use and housing. So that's where I come in on this. I hope that answers your question, Don.
Great. Thank you, Mo. Appreciate that. Asia, we'll go to you next. And again, do you need the question repeated?
I think I have a grasp on the question. Like Mel was saying, the intersection of sustainability, housing, and historical preservation, community preservation character. I, as a trained city planner in the last 5 years, of course, I'm on the density trend. I think that there is a way to use density without having to build really high up. I think there's a way to use density to fulfill all three of those goals. I look at what the state of California is mandating with density, you know, looking at how to use ADUs, how to use incremental development or next level up development, how to get affordable units, smaller units or more units on a parcel. Without compromising community character, which I believe will also, you know, preserve the historic buildings and the historic feel of the downtown area. So I'm a strong proponent of looking at how parcels can be moved to the next level of increment of development without compromising all of those things. I think that also meets a sustainability goal because it means that development doesn't encroach on areas of conservation and preservation and doesn't encroach on environment. So, but I also know that the environmental review process is an intense process that takes a lot of consideration. So that's where I'm coming from.
Great. Thanks, Asia. Appreciate that. Matthew.
I would not mind the question being repeated.
Sure. Councilmember Addis, would you repeat that wonderful question? Or those three questions?
It's two, Mayor. It's not three. Maybe it's three. Council recently unanimously voiced support for major city goals in the areas of housing and addressing the climate crisis. As a commissioner, what would your approach be to balancing the need for historic preservation with the need to build more housing and the need to address the climate crisis?
All right, thank you for repeating that. So I think currently the city has a pretty good setup when it comes to preserving historical importance. You know, when you go in to submit plans for a house that potentially has any historic quality, the city requires a state licensed historian come evaluate that property. I think that is a great thing and should be just kind of a blanket deal. The house I live in right now, it's 105 years old. It's a little tiny hunter cabin that once was down by the water and was moved up here. It's sitting on stilts. It's amazing to me. It's lived through the earthquakes that it has. But it's great finding, you know, these old horseshoes in my yard and being like, where did that come from and how long has that been sitting here? And it's still sitting on my porch. When it comes to density and climate change, I do love what the state has implemented in making sure that, you know, solar offsets are required and we're always trying to make appliances and fixtures more efficient. But one thing that's hard to get back is water. You know, everybody uses water. How do you say, hey, can you put panels on a roof that's going to replace your water? That doesn't really exist right now. But one thing that is tandem with the housing that was a project that Bob Kreiser and I were pursuing, and he still is, we met with Bruce Gibson on this and Kerry Brown, and it's hopefully going through the process. It's a 5-acre parcel in Los Osos. And basically, we had broken up this 5 acres into 4,000 square foot parcels with some larger condominium type apartment buildings. And the idea was, this was a term Gibson came up with, and we've since ran with it, next gen housing. There's somewhere in between affordable housing, needing a cheap place to live, there's somewhere between needing a house, and then there's the working individuals, very much like myself and others on this panel, who it's a little more complicated. You need room to grow as a family. You need room to do some things. And so one, creating these 4,000 little, you're creating what we call a village. And there's a couple of parcels in Morro Bay that aren't quite 5 acres, but fit that kind of idea. And historically, we love our RV parks. We love our mobile home parks. It's kind of a very similar setup as that, just instead of an RV, you have a stick-built home, or maybe it is a modular, whatever brings that price down. And you buy these lots so that it's also a stepping stone. You have an agreement, an HOA, some type saying you live there for X amount of years, then you can sell it for X amount above listing or whatever appraise is for. So not only do you have affordable housing, but you have a way to progress. You have a way to step up and grow with your family. And then with a little extra, solar is required. But one thing that there's two things I've always been very excited about. Water reclamation from the air, being we have a lot of moisture in our air. The humidity here is insane. And I know some local people on a residential private level who are creating their own water. They're drinking, they create their own drinking water from pulling the humidity out of the air. It goes through a whole process and they're comfortable enough to where they're drinking it. Their whole family is using this. And so that is a technology that exists in more extreme conditions like deserts and things like that, where they have to be real creative. But we're finding that maybe historically we live in a desert. We live in a Mediterranean climate, which is kind of like a desert. So some type of water reclamation like that on top of these small working class villages that have an HOA that work together, and the infrastructure for these also being pulled off of potentially, water reclamation and solar, everything, zero emission, canceling out everything. And the second fold of that is it's kind of a controversial thing in our county, but it is something that has a ton of value when it comes to battling climate change. And it's industrial hemp and its ability to clean soil, its ability to be a renewable resource for paper. So many things. You could get me going for a very long time on that, and I won't go into that. But I would love to see the city kind of embrace what the county has pushed away and done a scorched earth process with when it comes to industrial hemp, because I truly believe if there was a Band-Aid for everything right now, that would be the route taken, that we would be very surprised to find what we can do to actually battle climate change, not just learn to live with it and postpone it.
Good. Thank you, Matt. Appreciate that. Okay, we're going to go to Council Member Barton, and one question, same question for each individual. And if we could start with Mo this time, Mo, we'll make you number one this time. Council Member Barton, please.
Well, it's it's going to be tricky. Everybody has such a wildly different background. I've been intrigued with all the answers and taking lots of notes here. So let's see. It was Mo, right? I'm sorry, I'm flipping through my pages.
Same question for each person, not
right.
Yeah, right.
Right, I know. Okay, so one of the things, and we just touched on it, but one of the things that is a hot topic in Morro Bay is affordable housing, and how do we reach our RENA goals for producing affordable housing, and what do you have to add to that topic?
That's a big puzzle. I think that we live in a larger economic system where a lot of those things are outside of our control. And this is a very desirable place to live. Population increases, that's going to keep driving prices up. I believe allowing for secondary dwelling units, which I believe is already going forward, is one way. Generally, I would say smaller homes, smaller ways to live that take up less space. And again, back to what I said earlier, if you can make transit a real viable option and reduce the need for parking, reduce the need for a car, that will help in that direction as well. Other things outside of sort of the planning realm probably involve more things requiring government assistance or development agreements or deed restrictions that limit, that hold onto the property in some kind of a cooperative manner and prevent it from being used. Right now, property is used as a way to pass wealth on and how to make money. To take property out of that whole wealth stream is a challenge. So I believe there's limited things we can do with that, but allowing smaller buildings to be built is probably a good way to go.
Okay.
Thank you, Mo. Appreciate that. Asia, please.
Oh yeah, really switching it up. I have to agree with Mo, but I also think that there You know, I know that federal and state funding, this with affordable housing, everything from HUD, CDBG grants to tax credit, LIHTC tax credits. I know all that stuff is really limited and that Morro Bay not, might not even qualify for a lot of those funds. But I think that public-private partnerships are really important if we're going to tackle affordable housing, which is a very important equity issue. I think beyond public-private partnerships to build more dense housing, as I discussed before, something depending on the political appetite, something that I know other coastal communities have looked at is their short-term vacation rental policies. How, you know, doing an analysis of how have short-term vacation rentals impacted housing availability, housing affordability, and what kind of policy tools do we have to integrate that discussion into our housing policy. And so those are density, public-private partnerships, and then state and federal funding are some of the areas I would look at.
Thank you.
Great, thank you so much. And how about Matthew, please?
Sure. Yeah, I appreciate that there's multiple questions for this because it is such an important issue. It's one that I've honestly just been battling my entire adult life. Because to be quite frank, as experienced as I am, as well as my wife and I do, if I didn't have the landlord I have right now, I probably wouldn't live in this county. And that doesn't come from lack of opportunity, lack of experience, lack of skills. I find myself in a sector that is paid well, and it never seems to fail to amaze me how expensive real estate is here. And we, elephant in the room, COVID the last 2 years, just wow. You know, I've experienced mass maltreatment in my neighborhood. The last month, the house across the street from me sold, the house next to me sold. And so in 1 month, I've had two new sets of neighbors. And that's happening citywide. We have a lot of new people coming in. I think that recently with revised plan for the vacation rentals, that is a great beginning to kind of addressing this, because what is California's big problem with the housing market? Inventory. And you start bringing that scope in further in Morro Bay isn't big, and we have a lot of vacation rentals. And so then the inventory gets even smaller to a point to where really for a working class individual, there really is no inventory in Morro Bay that exists. You're gonna spend $500,000 beginning on something that is very old and requires a lot of work. So it is very complicated. I agree with all the answers so far that I've been given. It's very important that vacation rentals are controlled and honestly, maybe into my opinion, further than they are now. It's not hard to find the vacation rentals that aren't vacation rentals. You rent it out for 29 days, 30 days, $6,000 a month. It's not hard to put A and B together and say, that's a vacation rental with a different name. And it falls into this gray area that really there's no jurisdiction on. So I really would be curious about that, finding that little gray and seeing the exact number of Morro Bay of how many of those exist. So $6,000 a month of rent, full-time rental. We know that's not a full-time rental. And we know that the real estate agents in our area have been here a long time and are also savvy to land use policies and are able to navigate it well. It's a very complicated issue that you don't want to take away, like people were saying, the property out of your wealth stream. You don't want to take away property rights. At the same time, we have to address the fact that the city's growing, room is becoming harder. So I am a big supporter of these mini villages, this working class, next generation housing. The people who right now in the future will be the, you know, the John Headings, the city councils, the people who need to be here so that this community can continue to grow and be the way it is. If working professionals keep rotating out and leaving, then it leaves kind of a city that's a shell or a husk of a true community. And sometimes Morro Bay can echo that. And I would just really think exploring some of these larger parcels that are already vacant. And like Asia was saying, a public-private agreement. There's a lot of people here locally that create tiny homes and very small, dense ways of living. And to get really, really creative on how to do this. There is no one way, set, or form in how to do it. It's going to take everybody to do this.
Thank you, Matt. Eric, sir. You're muted. You're muted.
Sorry about that.
That's all right.
Yeah. That's a hard one, especially in Morbay, where I know that there's Measure F, so we're limited on our growth. So there may not even be a big opportunity in new construction on new lots to develop a whole bunch of tiny little homes. Another thing is I think a little bit of patience needs to be given to the word density, especially post-COVID here, because I don't know what a great idea it is to cram everybody as close as we can together. But when the property is ridiculous amounts of money, I completely understand. It is going to take a public-private partnership. I think the city's going to have to step up to bat with some sort of incentives, development incentives, because the fact is it all relates to cost. We know that the developers are going to make X amount of money, and they aren't going to build it unless they can make X amount of money. So in order to do that, you got to get prices down. Materials, it's not going to happen. They're through the roof. So what do you have control of? Not a lot. You have control of fees, you know, maybe some sort of tax credits, any incentives that you can think of. And the ADU, you know, it's one of the best things you can do to give people the opportunity to make a little retirement money and have another residence in the back of their property. And that's really probably going to be the best bet for Morro Bay. Maybe even so much, I know that some cities have even implemented almost standard plans to where they can be immediately permitted, you know, whether they be 20 by 20. If it fits on your lot, you just sign away and pay your money and walk out of there with a permit to go build your ADU in the backyard. So there's lots of ideas, but they're going to have to be outside of the box. I don't think that any normal, you know, just building anything is going to, here in this area, is going to be affordable. That's for sure.
Thank you, Eric. Appreciate that very much. Go to Council Member Ford now, and Asia, we're going to start with you. You get to be first this time. Council Member Ford, welcome.
Thank you, Mayor. I just want to say something really quickly before I move forward with my question, but I just want to congratulate all of you for applying for this position. I was a planning commissioner before I was appointed to City Council, so you'll be filling the vacancy that I left. And I just want to say, you know, to any of you that do not get appointed today, please do not be discouraged. You're all well qualified, all of you, including Chris. You know, all of you are well qualified. And just the fact that you are willing to step up to do this for your community, for your city, is incredibly important and honorable. So I hope that you come back when there's another vacancy for a advisory board committee and that you apply again. So just wanted to put that out there before I read my question. Yeah, of course. Okay, so my question is, as a commission, how can you positively influence diversity, equity, and inclusion in the planning process? Well, that's kind of a tricky one there, but I'm curious to hear what you all have to say.
Sure. So I think that how planning processes typically work, especially in the time of COVID, it's been hard to do things in person. A lot of things are online, but that creates a lot of issues reaching a diverse audience. And so I think some of the best things you can do for the planning process is hearing the input from the entire community. And this really has to be done in creative ways, especially with the pandemic. So going beyond virtual meetings, going beyond city hall meetings, and meeting residents where they're in the community, meeting them in their home language, whether that's Spanish or English, meeting them no matter their digital literacy, being able to come up with creative ways to get out into the public and actually engage with residents, no matter what part of town they're in. So that can look like anything from design or planning charrettes in non-traditional spaces. You know, maybe Shine Cafe holds a design charrette instead of the library, or maybe a design or planning meeting happens on a weekend or an evening where there's childcare provided by volunteers. In the evening at the library or in the park on a Saturday during farmers market or in the Spencer's parking lot. I just think that as planners, we have to really get out of the box for our public engagement. Yeah, and I think that's where I'll stop.
Great, thank you. We'll go to Eric next, please. Eric.
You got me. I was just thinking on that one.
Sorry about that. I'm Asian, trying to write down, you know, 1, 2, 3 and all that.
I mean, Asia nailed it. You know, getting out in the public, I was thinking as I began doing a little homework and reading through the general plan and reading about, you know, the community outreach that went on that and thinking back to my past experiences with it. And it is unfortunate that so many times we request community outreach, but it never seems to really get into the ears of the community. And then they scream later on, and then you say, well, we gave you an opportunity, and they never even heard that you gave them an opportunity. So I do think it's very important. I mean, we have the farmers market. We have multiple events on the Embarcadero. I don't know what the right answer is, but I'm definitely game for jumping in and trying to find a way to get that message, because I agree it is missing, and it definitely does feel like a small group of people is maybe deciding the destiny of a larger group of people that don't even know that they have a chance to have a voice. Maybe radio spots, television spots. I don't know what kind of budgets though, that anybody has, or what kind of leeway the television stations or radio stations are willing to give. But that is that's a great question, and one that needs to be thought of.
Thanks, Eric. Appreciate it. Mo, let's go to you, sir.
Yeah, I think you've got your work cut out for you. Anyone who wants to increase general public participation in local government at any level, and planning, even for those of us familiar with its processes and its products, is not really the most exciting topic to engage in. And so I think Asia had some great ideas there, and it's all going to take a whole lot of extra work. And how do you make it fun? I think fun is one way to look at things. How do you get people to come to your city council meetings? How is it fun? They're long meetings. They're boring. Maybe they're not boring. I mean, you could, if you're going to think way outside the box, maybe send people a spoof letter saying, you know, if you don't come to this planning meeting, the plan will bulldoze your house because we're going to put a highway through there. You'd get a lot of people at that meeting. I'm saying it couldn't work twice. You know, the whole boy that cried wolf thing. But I acknowledge it's a difficulty, Jen. It's difficulty to get any sort of input. It's even more difficult to get people who don't feel that their voice has been heard to start with. And so why waste their time at a meeting that's kind of boring? And it's a challenge. And I do think it is something we need to work at, and certainly outside the box. That's all for me.
Thank you, Mo. I'm going to send that to you about bulldozing the house to get you to come to the next city council meeting. I like that. That's a great idea. All right, let's go to Matthew, please. Sir.
Yeah, great question. Right off the bat, the first two things I thought of were code enforcement and business licenses. More often than not, people don't want to get involved with government. They do it when they have to. When there's a project next door, something that's immediately affecting them. That's when we go to meetings, that's when we pipe up. What really can affect these groups, from my experience working at the planning department of the county, is not having a clear process and clearly giving assistance to everyone on how to acquire the certificates needed to legally run a business. Very often, the terms, the verbiage that we live in, we're used to it, you know, we know what it means. But when you're first reading an ordinance about what kind of business can I run in the house I own or the apartment I live in, it's daunting. It's not easy. Then you add COVID to it, and I can't just walk in and talk to somebody, and maybe I don't have internet at my house, and so I've got to go figure out how to do this, and I don't have a laptop, I just have a phone. Well, I can't do it on your phone. I have to have a computer. Those were things that on a day-to-day basis that I felt in the planning department and took it upon myself, even though we weren't taking people in physically, I would meet them in the lobby because I understood that problem that, hey, you don't have access to all the same stuff that I do. You need to have that access. We can't just have a blanket program saying, hey, get on the computer, go do something. Not everybody has a computer. Not everybody has the internet. Not everybody has a quiet space to just hang out and get work done. And the other one is code enforcement. I get passionate about this, so forgive me. But it's appalling how often code enforcement is unfounded, and oftentimes the reporting party is white and the party being reported on is not. It was appalling finding out how often that happened. And from working in code enforcement myself over the past 7 years, I've seen it happen firsthand. And so having a stage between a code enforcement case being created and the complaint coming in, there needs to be verification that this complaint is real and it's not just somebody with ill intentions, which most of the time is the case. I've closed code enforcement cases on drywall being changed out purely because of a neighbor complaining on someone they don't like. It's infuriating and it's really hard. And then you have a letter in the mail that says you have a misdemeanor coming your way. And sometimes these are people who, any type of official person is a big deal. And now you're threatening legal action on something that is so far from actually being legal action. And so just understanding that people don't all have this, it's not an even playing field. We don't all live in the same type of house. We don't all have the same resources. And realizing that when government reaches out, those words have meaning, they have weight, and they really matter. And it can really cause a lot of stress and a lot of burden on people. And it's really unfortunate sometimes how that code enforcement is set up to where it's complaint driven, because that can really open the door to some nasty situations that shouldn't exist.
Great, Matt, thank you. So I guess it's my turn. This is a yes or no question. So don't need to give me any background because, you've had some great questions from the other council members, and I think we've got a really good idea of your background and who you are and what your thoughts are. But I'm just going to ask you this, yes or no, will SB 9, the California Home Act, help the city of Morro Bay, in your opinion, to become more affordable? And let's start, I should tell you who I'm going to start with, huh? Mo.
My answer is, I don't know. I don't know what SB 9 is.
Fair enough. Matthew.
I really think so. I think until there's like real rent control, kind of the same line with ADU. On paper, it's a great idea. Everybody gets, there's an extra house. But is there any control for me renting this one little thing for $5,000 a month? No. So until there's some type of program that says X plus Y equals C and you rent for this, there's no real control. It's a private industry. It's capitalism. It's what it's there for. It's my house. I'm going to rent it for what I deem it to be. So no.
Okay. Eric. You're muted, Eric. You're muted. We didn't hear it.
Right. I would hope so, but being a realist, probably not. I think similar to what Matt said is that I think COVID has proven that landlords don't have much problem with raising rent on a regular basis. I'm one of those people that is paying extremely high rent. I do so because I made that choice because I get to be outside almost every day of the year, and to me it's worth it. priorities, but no, sadly, I don't think it is going to help.
Okay. Asia.
Yeah, I do. Yes.
Okay. Thank you. I do see your hand, Mo. Did you have something to add before we close?
I'd like to change my answer to yes.
All right. Okay. Go ahead. Oh, you said yes. Did you say yes?
Simple yes or no. My answer is a simple yes.
Okay, great. Thank you. Appreciate that. All right. Hey, tough questions, I know, but we have a great group of council members. And boy, some very knowledgeable candidates for our planning commission. Again, we're blessed as a community to have folks like you come forward and apply for this position. It's not an easy position, but one that is extremely important to our community. So thanks again for taking your time and being with us. And again, as Councilmember Ford mentioned, we have multiple other advisory bodies. So if perhaps you're not appointed to this body, please consider serving in another capacity in the community. So with that, Council, as I mentioned previously, I'm going to go ahead and open it up and entertain a motion for approval of appointing an individual for the remainder of the term to the Planning Commission ending January 21st, 2023. Looking for a hand? Councilmember Addis, I see your hand.
I'll move to appoint Asia King. But I just want to reiterate what both you and Councilmember Ford said, that I hope nobody sees that as a slight. I'm so excited by the entire panel that has applied, and I hope that each of you comes back. Councilmember Ford kind of alluded to this being her seat that we're filling, and I'm excited that we have people who are possibly equally qualified to former Commissioner Ford to fill that seat. It's a true honor to get this caliber. So I just hope each of you will stick with us, look at other commissions, come back, and we'll see if this motion is even seconded.
Thank you, Councilmember Addis. I do see Councilmember Barton with a raised hand. Did you want a second?
Yes, I'd like to second that. The entire motion, including the part about encouraging people to come back and apply again or apply for other seats as they open. This is an amazing group. So yes, I would I'm seconding your motion.
So we do have a motion and a second to appoint Asia King to the position of Planning Commission for the remainder of the term ending January 31st, 2023. Any further discussion? Seeing no hands raised, I'll ask the clerk to go ahead and do a roll call vote, please.
Councilmember Addis?
Yes.
Councilmember Barton?
Yes.
Councilmember Ford?
Yes.
And Mayor Hedding?
Yes.
The motion carries 401 with Councilmember Heller absent.
Welcome, Planning Commissioner King, to a very important job at a very important time in our city. Again, I want to thank you all for being here today and being part of the panel. And again, encourage you to consider other positions. We're lucky as a community to have you. So thank you all. We're going to demote you folks, and we're going to bring in our next group for the Public Works Advisory Board. And again, our thanks.
Thank you.
I'll let the clerk go ahead and demote. That's a terrible term. I didn't want to say get rid of, but how about de-zoom? We're going
to
de-zoom.
I actually don't have the power to do that, so I'm relying on the folks.
Oh, AGP, can we...
We want to keep Chris Dent, Eric Vincent.
Yes, Chris
and
Dent.
Eric Riddio just joined us.
Okay.
All right, we will promote them over. Could I get the names one more time, please?
Chris Dent, Eric Riddio, and Eric Vincent.
All right, they will be moved over.
I think they're all here. I think we're good.
We're good to go. Yeah, it looks like I see everybody. Eric Riddio, did I say that correctly? You can correct me now.
Yes.
Good? Okay.
Perfect.
I was going to apologize if I miss it. All right. Welcome, folks, this is a vacancy for the remainder of term ending January 31st, 2025 for our Public Works Advisory Board. If you were listening, which I think all but Mr. Abrillo may have heard, what we'd like is a 1 minute introduction and try to limit it to 1 minute if possible. And then each of the council members will ask one question, which will be the same for each of you. And then we're going to go ahead and do via a motion, the approval process for choosing one individual to the vacancy. So with that, welcome to you all again. I'll do this for Mr. Riddio's good to let you know that how much we appreciate you applying for this position. These are important city advisory boards. We have three well-qualified, again, individuals. And thank you all for stepping forward and being part of the process for hoping to serve our community. So let's go ahead and start with this time, the introduction, and I'll start with Mr. Dent. Chris, welcome back.
Thanks. Well, my wife and I, Lori, have lived here about 63 years. Well, I'm 63 years old, and we've lived in this community about 7 years. Just like everybody that I got to listen to was applying for the Planning Commission, I think everyone kind of wants to make Morro Bay better for everyone that comes after us. And I think definitely that's one of the reasons I was looking to volunteer to help the city. I was really impressed with all the last candidates, and even the ones that I've already kind of gotten to know Eric from his thing, and I'm super impressed with everybody, so I'm not too worried about who you appoint. I can tell you're going to get somebody really good. One of the things I think I could bring to this is I have had a lot of experience being 63, living in multiple different communities and kind of seeing what things work and what don't. Try to use common sense. I've always been a hard worker. And then I have come from the perspective of a resident here that's trying to access all the recreation opportunities we have. I like to paddleboard and kayak and fish and golf, and I rode bike and mountain bike, and my wife and I like to be able to walk down to restaurants downtown. So these are the kind of things that I think are super important for this community to make it real livable. And my goal, if I was part of the Public Works Advisory Committee, would to make sure that those things continued.
Great. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate that very much. Eric Riddio, I'll let you go next, sir. Welcome.
Thank you. Appreciate this opportunity. Eric Riddio, live in Morro Bay, obviously, and married and have two children. 11 and actually, I'm sorry, 13 and 16. So been in Morro Bay just over 5 years as a resident on the Central Coast for about 7 or 8 years, but I did grow up in Santa Maria, California. In fact, I'm in my office in Santa Maria right now. I am a public works professional, so I'm my heart is in public works. I work for the city of Santa Maria as the principal engineer over capital and construction projects. So I think what I bring to this position is, first and foremost, compassion for public works servants and all public servants, and it's a very admirable thing to do and to be in, but as in construction and capital, having an idea of what things cost, what the process is to get things accomplished, and to get things done in a cost-effective and manner that is sensitive to the community's needs and the environment. And I think that's something that I would strive hard to do in this position. So, and I do want to, definitely say that I would support public works staff in any capacity that I could. So,
Great. Thank you, Eric. I'm going to go to Eric V. And Eric, we got kind of know you, but kind of tell us why you're interested in PWAB as well.
This was actually the first position I had started filling out for before Jim Ford left the Planning Commission, and that happened to pop up. So I was like, well, hey, send the same application over. As you said, you got to know me. I have been on a public works liaison committee before. I have developed, you know, eight subdivisions of at least 50 to 60. So I'm familiar with all the construction methods used in public works, et cetera. And beyond that, I just try to use common sense, level-headed thinking, and honesty to make decisions.
There we go. Great. Thank you so much, gentlemen. Appreciate the introduction. We're going to start with Council Member Ford this time. And again, 1 minute, if you could, for your answers, folks. And one question, same question for all three of you. So, Council Member Ford.
Thank you. Thank you all for applying for this position. My question is in regards to a recent goal that we as council decided to support. And it's in regards to city infrastructure, sanitation, and circulation on the waterfront regarding pedestrian, bicycle, and vehicle traffic. So I'd like to know, as a member of the Public Works Advisory Board, what would your approach and your perspective be on addressing infrastructure and circulation?
I should tell you who's first, huh? Let's start with Eric Vincent, please.
I honestly don't know right off the top of my head. Like I said, I am honest to a fault sometimes. I don't know what power that the Public Works Committee really has in regards to that. I know from personal experience that there definitely are some things in transportation that need to change in the city of Morro Bay, as I learned that pedicabs are not allowed in the city of Morro Bay. I know it's going to be a big challenge coming up. I see that parking is becoming a big challenge around here. And I was just unaware that the Public Works Advisory Board gets that involved in that stuff, but that is really good if they do. And I would be anxious to look at all of those things. Sorry, I can't give you a better answer, Jim.
Hey, honesty is the best policy. That's great. Thank you, Eric. Let's go to Eric R.
As far as circulation, I know that the general plan is being looked at, so that's obviously a big part of the general plan update. If there's something additional that needs to be done, there probably this committee and there'd probably even be need for looking at another committee of reaching out to the community and community engagement as far as coming up with, studying it. Obviously, you need to identify funding source for that. So if there's funding, assuming there's funding, community outreach is probably the most important thing in making sure that you're hitting all aspects of the community to see what people are seeing out there, hitting events that are readily attended. And then talk to all the local businesses, all the stakeholders, forming a stakeholder group to kind of come up with some of the beginning issues that are involved with it. But I would say it'd have to be a separate study that have to come out and be funded and kind of vetted, at least at the initial stages.
Great, thank you. Chris, please.
Well, I guess I maybe have firsthand experience because riding your bike down through there on the weekends, going out to the rock or going across the bridge and you know, riding out towards Cayucas is quite a challenge. It's kind of a dead end down there at the rock. And so cars back up through there, and there's not much parking for all the people that want to be there. And so it definitely seems to me it's an overly congested area. And if we could find a way to relieve some of that, it would certainly help out, I think, with everybody having a more pleasant experience. It's actually, when you leave the rock in the afternoons, like on Saturdays or sometimes even Sundays, I mean, it's a good 10 minutes in line there trying to get to the stop sign. So it's definitely a problem. And I think it definitely is something that would be kind of nice to look at on a long-term basis, especially because of the other changes coming, possibly with the power plant and stuff like that.
Thanks, Chris. Let's go ahead and go to Councilmember Barton, please. Councilmember Barton, your question.
I think that all of you have probably noticed the biggest public works project that we've ever taken on in Morro Bay happening in our midst. And I wonder, what are your thoughts about that project and how you might function in an advisory capacity on this committee?
Good question, and let's start with Eric R.
Yeah, I knew that question would come up. obviously the biggest capital project probably in the history of Morro Bay, or recent history at least. And water, you know, the issues with water are just going to continue to get worse. So it's something that I personally support and have supported since I've been in Morro Bay, because as I know, the longer you wait, the more expensive things get. I know what's been done has been done, and you can't go back and change what's in the past. And, you know, it would have been nice to do something with Cayucas. I understand all that, but, you know, I was in support of moving forward with it. You know, there's a lot of design issues. There's a lot of challenges. And I think the big issue, you know, with being able to recharge our local water, reuse and recycle, is really the only way we can have a bright future in Morro Bay with, you know, state water dwindling and other resources. So it's a very important project to me.
Thank you, Eric. Let's go ahead and have Chris. Chris.
Well, like most residents of Morro Bay, I'm definitely in favor of improving our infrastructure, and the sewer project was super important for next generations. I would definitely want to make sure that the project gets done in the most efficient manner that can be, considering that we pretty much, you know, have already leaped into it. So I think it's just a matter of making sure that it finishes out with the plans that we asked them to do. And so I would make sure that was done.
Thank you. Eric V.
As far as that project, I think there's going to be a lot of holding of contractors' feet to the fire on this project. And I hope that the city is up for it and prepared for it. I admit I am not 100% up to date on it, but from what I have been watching since we have been here and the developments, I feel number one is transparency. For whatever reason, I think that the public doesn't necessarily feel that there is transparency. I'm not saying that's how I feel. I'm saying from the little bit I've learned from being around the area already. So transparency would be number one. Transparency with the numbers, right or wrong. If budgets are blown, let's admit to it and figure out how to fix it. And then, like I said, there's a lot of stuff going wrong on the project. And contractors are really, really good at making excuses and really, really good at hiding cost, and really, really good at making you pay for it later. And hopefully being another set of eyes on that, I could be of some assistance in that regards because I do know some of those games. But that being said, everybody on the panel right now is amazing, just like the last panel. I love that the city of Morro Bay has hit a home run on this one, that you got two vacancies and you got two home runs. So anyways, with that, let's keep going.
Great. Thanks, Eric. Appreciate it. Great. Let's go to Councilman Morales. Your question, please.
Thank you, Mayor. This question is not necessarily about PWAB so much as public works in general. And how do you think that public works can be leveraged to support children in Morro Bay and even possibly increase the number of kids that come and hang out here? And I ask this in the context of our elementary school having declined in population. So is there a way to leverage public works as a department to help improve things for young people and make it more attractive here?
Great question. Chris, can we start with you, sir?
Yeah, off the top of my head, nothing actually comes to mind. Obviously, you've had a chance to think about that particular question. I assume the population, it's hard for people to, families to live here, and so children don't, you know, I know most of the kids are probably on the north side and there aren't that many. I believe I was reading somewhere like at Delmore that 60 or 70% of the kids there are eligible for subsidized lunches and other kinds of things. So off the top of my head, honestly, I don't know how I would do that. I'd have to really think about that.
Thanks, Chris. Appreciate that. Eric V.
I would hope that there would be some way that you could intermingle public works in with parks a little bit. I'm not quite sure how, but I know that the city definitely needs a new skate park upgrade. I know that there's other things I have seen done around pump tracks, different things that maybe you could incorporate into a bike trail so that it's serving double purpose. I'm sure there's more trails to come in the city and stuff. Short of that sort of cooperation between two departments, that would be another one on public works, would be probably, especially in North Morro, ensuring that there's a safe path for kids to school, safe sidewalks, safe paths, safe bicycle routes, making sure the parents feel comfortable. We ended up where we ended up in Morro Bay because there's not a lot of choice with rental housing. So we had made ourselves okay with, okay, if we live on one side, we'll have our kids get the bus experience. But if we live on the other side, we wanted our kids to get the walk to school experience. And having better sidewalks and stuff like that would definitely make a parent feel more comfortable allowing their kids to do so at a young age. I mean, us parents nowadays are a lot more uptight than I know my parents were.
Thanks, Eric. Eric R., please.
Yeah, I agree with Eric Vincent, a lot of what he said. Active transportation is key with public works going forward. Safe routes to school, getting folks on their bikes and walking in safe spaces, you know, class one trails, different options other than you know, people riding on the surface streets, you know, bike corridors. There's lots of different active options. And maybe the answer to that is looking at an active transportation plan for the city or collective with the county, or think big with that, because there's a lot of grant opportunities that we just have to put in the work and the outreach to be able to qualify. And there's a lot of money that we could realize if we put in the work to do that. And public works also does, you know, maybe get involved with the schools and kind of invite schools to check out public works, is, you know, in some of the other city positions is another thing to make things cool for the students to see. So.
Great, good stuff. All right. Last question, gentlemen. When Stockton went through bankruptcy, one of the major initiatives post-bankruptcy was this huge rise in community volunteerism. And so my question is, from a public works standpoint, what are your thoughts about how we might be able to increase community volunteerism in public works projects? I don't mean like building the wastewater treatment facility, but parks improvements, bathroom rebuilding, bocce ball court construction, those kinds of things. Do you have any thoughts about what kinds of policies might help to improve volunteerism? And let me start, if I could, with Eric R.
Those are great examples. I think, you know, the pickleball courts are one that, you know, nearby where I live, it has created tremendous support of the community and people wanting to pay a dollar to use the courts to do their part to help out. Obviously, the resurfacing and some of the more, in, you know, some of those things can't be done by, you know, the folks in the public readily, but finding opportunities, you know, passions of people and you know, really the outreach to the community. Hey, if you want to make this happen, we need the support. And, you know, like I said before, with active transportation, a lot of people want to be outside and we have this great waterfront. Let's get people on their bikes and walking down to the waterfront so we don't have to worry about parking as much. Or, you know, obviously we have tourism and we want to promote that. So there's a lot of influx of that, but I think there's lots of ways that people want to step up if we make it appealing and we do the right outreach.
Great, thank you. Let's go to, if we could, Chris, please.
I do remember our church did some bathroom remodeling, so I think people are out there that would help out on projects. I have a passion for biking. We always thought it'd be really cool if we could get, you know, the bike path to go all the way out to Cayucas so you don't have to ride on the highway. I mean, that would be an awesome thing for us to be able to do. I think it would really get a ton of use if we could do that. And I think you know, adding more off-road biking opportunities is nice. We have a pretty nice run at the rock quarry, but as a couple of my friends said, there's some other nice roads. It'd be nice if we could have some right-of-ways or something to, you know, for people to be able to safely ride bikes. There's definitely some dangerous places to go. And I think in public works with children or for adults, I think you need to have safe recreation areas, and biking is definitely one of them I would emphasize.
Thanks, Chris. Eric, V.
I think I could be wrong being new here, but it sure gets the feeling that the community is pretty awesome here. And I think if you ask, you would receive quite a bit. I do know that like Los Osos was just doing a median island planting. And I, as a Facebook user and Instagram user, saw that pop up plenty of times that they needed more help, and it looks like it went fairly well. Sometimes the biggest thing is advance notice. It seems like a lot of events pop up at the last minute. So if you are going to be asking for volunteers' help, just advance notice. But I think it would be pretty amazing what the community could do if asked. Also, just turn it into a party and everybody will be there. You know, get some live music, some food trucks or something, and ask for help taking all the kinks out of the walking trail along the waterfront or something. You know, make it a day event, shut down the road. I'm sure you would get enough residents out there to participate. But think outside the box a little. Anyways, thanks.
Yeah, we almost had that Sunday with our community concert, but who thought it would rain in Morro Bay, of all places? Well, gentlemen, thank you so much. Great answers. Again, a very qualified group of individuals. We're so fortunate as a city to have people like you that have stepped forward. And again, as I said earlier to the other group, if you're not appointed to this position, please seek out other opportunities. They come up frequently. And we have a number of advisory boards that the City Council takes very seriously with regard to your recommendations and assistance. So with that, I do will entertain a motion, and I have Councilmember Barton's hand up. Go ahead, Councilmember Barton.
I would like to move to select Eric Riddio for the PWAB board.
Okay, we have a motion by Councilmember Barton for Eric Riddio, and I see Councilmember Addis's hand as well. Go ahead, Councilmember.
I can support that motion, and I just hope Chris and Eric stay involved and help us plan that volunteer party, I hope, because we would love to see you. We would love to see you back and stay engaged. If this motion passes, we'll see what happens.
And we'll lean on Chris for some biking ideas.
Good. We do have a motion and a second to appoint Eric Riddio to the vacancy for the remainder of the term ending January 31st, 2025, to our Public Works Advisory Board. And if there's no further discussion, I will ask the clerk for a roll call vote, please.
Councilmember Addis?
Yes.
Councilmember Barton?
Yes.
Councilmember Ford?
Yes.
And Mayor Heading?
Yes.
Motion carries 401 with Councilmember Heller absent.
Well, welcome, Eric. We're looking forward to your service on our Public Works Advisory Board. Again, gentlemen, thank you so much for being with us this afternoon. And please consider again applying for many other positions that will be coming up. Thank you, council members. Excellent questions. And I appreciate your time this afternoon. With that, I'll adjourn this meeting. The next meeting of the Morro Bay City Council will occur in 35 minutes this evening at 5:30 p.m. Thank you. Have a great evening. We'll see you a little later.
Thank you.
Thanks. Thank you.